We're beginning with the chapter, 6 days of creation, the process of growth and development. The Lord took 6 days to create the world. Each day was important, each in its own time. A child learns to turn over, to sit up, to crawl, then to walk and run. Each step is important. No step can be skipped. In school, we study mathematics before we study algebra. We can then go on to geometry and calculus. We simply can't do calculus until we understand algebra. So it is with spiritual growth and development. Repentance precedes making a covenant in the waters of baptism. Baptism and faithfulness precede the covenant of endowment and temple marriage. With the priesthood, the requirements of the Aaronic priesthood are met before assuming the obligations of the Melchizedek priesthood. In all of life, there are stages or processes of growth and development. We know and accept this fact of process in the area of physical things, but understanding it in emotional areas, in human relations, and even in the spiritual areas is less common and more difficult, but ever as important. And even though we may have this understanding, accepting it and working on that basis is less common and more difficult. Things in the physical area are seen and constant evidence is supplied, but things in the other areas are largely unseen and evidence is not as direct or as plain. Therefore, we sometimes look for shortcuts, preferring to skip some of these vital steps in order to save time and effort and still reap the desired reward. For the purposes of understanding and clarity, let us use the idea of the 6 days of creation to represent this process of growth and development. Consider your answer to this question. What happens when a person attempts to shortcut this process in his or her development? For instance, in sports, if you are only an average tennis player, say, day three, but decide to play today at day six in order to make a better impression, what will result? Or if you were at day three skill level in golf and were to compete against someone at day five, would positive thinking alone beat that person? In another area, what would happen if you were to lead your friends to believe that you could play the piano at day six while your actual skill was at day two? The answers are obvious. Violating, ignoring, or cutting short this development process is simply impossible. It is contrary to nature, and any attempt to seek such a shortcut will result in confusion and frustration. If I am at day two in any field and desire to move to day five, I must first take the step toward day three. As the saying goes, a 1,000-mile journey begins with the first step, one step at a time. Precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little and there a little. This is simply the law of the harvest. You reap what you sow. It's the law of justice. It's the natural law of God. It is a principle and will govern regardless. Let me illustrate. The missionaries in one British mission held regular street meetings as a proselyting method to meet people. But one elder would never participate. He had a different excuse every day, a cold, a sore throat, other duties, and so forth. His father was a prominent and successful civic, church, and business leader. Everyone expected his young missionary son to also be successful. The missionary enjoyed the inheritance of being well thought of, receiving admiration for qualities others assumed he had. He did not want to reveal himself, and the fact that he too had to start at the beginning, at day one. He did not know the scriptures, and he could not preach with clarity and persuasion, and so he would not participate. Until the time he was willing to pay the price of revealing the level he was at, he could not grow or move from the torturous task of pretense. Now, instead of growth in skill or knowledge, let us consider the internal growth, that is, the emotional and spiritual growth, of any individual. Let us say, for instance, that a particular mother is at day five intellectually, but at day two emotionally. Everything is okay when the sun is shining and when things go well. But what happens when fatigue and the pressures of screaming kids, diapers, dishes, telephones join together? Or when struggling with uncooperative teenagers and a husband who is always gone? This emotionally immature mother may find herself absolutely enslaved to the emotions of anger, impatience, and criticalness. She may find herself incapable of acting upon what she knows in her mind is right because of the built-in, ingrained habit of losing her temper. All this adds to her guilty feeling. And yet in public, when things are going well, others may never detect this internal deficiency, this emotional immaturity. She has a good mind and seems to be patient and in control. I recall an occasion when two daughters came to me tearfully complaining about their father's harshness and lack of understanding. They were afraid to open up with either of their parents for fear of the consequences. And yet they desperately needed the kind of love, understanding, and guidance that can come only from parents. I talked with the father, and he agreed with the complaints and was intellectually aware of what was happening. But while he admitted he had a temper problem, he refused to take responsibility for it and to honestly accept the fact that he was, in a sense, emotionally at day two. It was more pride than he could swallow to take the first step toward day three. Now, this is obvious in tennis or piano playing where pretending is impossible, but it is not so obvious in emotional and spiritual areas. We can pose and put on a front. We can pretend. We can posture. We might even deceive ourselves. Yet I believe that most of us know the truth of what we really are inside, as do some of those we live with and work around. To relate effectively with our wives, husbands, or children requires emotional strength because we must learn to listen. Listening involves patience, openness, and a desire to understand. And when we are really open, we run the risk that we might be influenced and changed. And if we are so sure that we are right now, we don't want to change. We find it easier to be closed and to tell and to dictate. It's easier to operate from our day two emotional level and to give day six advice.